world, and welcome to my show, Fight for Sound Life Coaching. When you see things as they truly are, you make sound choices in life. I am your host and life coach, Janet Kaleri, and I am based in Los Angeles, California, originally from Boston. Go Red Sox! And let's see, I'm a life coach with a twist. I photograph my clients so they can see a before and after transformation. What's on the inside shows up on the outside. And it is a delightful, tangible result for them to see. I work one-on-one with all kinds of people. I work with entrepreneurs and companies and organizations. And my mission in life, my purpose in life, is igniting human potential. So I'm here to ignite your potential, my audience. And if you are in the mood to have your potential ignited even more, you may contact me at any time. So you can find me on sightforsound.com. And obviously you can find me on bbsradio.com/sightforsound. So we are continuing the conversation, the general conversation on health and well-being today. The last show I had David Martin of Million Dollar Body talk to us about the the trend of obesity in America and how vital it is to educate children and young adults and adults on health and well-being. So thank you again, Million Dollar Body. Thank you, David Martin. And today I have an incredible guest, a friend and confidant and colleague of mine. His name is Daza Greenwood, and he has invented the Online Yogi Project. He has been working diligently for a couple of years on this project, and it is related to MIT in Cambridge, Massachusetts. The MITOnlineYogi.com research project is creating free software which enables people to interconnect in communities for health, wellness, and learning. And based on the success of the 2005 event, the MIT e-commerce architecture program, they've chosen to make Online Yogi the key research and development initiative of the 2006-2007 academic year, and committed to being complete and launch free. And with that said, I am welcoming Daza Greenwood. And welcome to the show, Daza.
Hello, Janet. So good to talk to you again.
You too. Thank you for being here and taking the time. We at BBS Radio and myself personally are committed to, developing self-awareness and, you know, based on the more we know ourselves, the better our lives work. And that really includes health and well-being, a lifestyle of health and well-being. And I think that this Online Yogi concept is absolutely brilliant. And I have followed you for the last 2 years with this concept, and congratulate you on where you have come and have taken it so far. So my first question, and if you would share with the audience, Daza, is what was your intention in creating this online yogi community?
Oh, that is an excellent question, Janet. And the intention is a great way to introduce this project, because it deals fundamentally with intention and with consciousness. The original motivation behind the Online Yogi Project of the MIT e-commerce architecture program, which is the think tank that it came out of, was to find ways to apply available, widely deployed e-commerce-oriented infrastructure, you know, secure purchasing on the internet, authentication of identity, and the business layer and the legal layer and so much of the process layer that's already been built out for the buying and selling of books and and so forth, and to see if we could apply some of that to what you might consider higher frequency, higher touch kinds of human interactions in the health and wellness space, for example, self-governance, even spirituality, religion, the realm of pure intention. And we started with yoga because I'm a yoga teacher, and it seemed like an obvious way to use the e-commerce technologies in a field where demonstrably over many hundreds of years and thousands of years now, people have used this process and technology to achieve transformation personally. So one of the questions here is, could we use webcams and Web 2.0 technologies and other methods of using information technology to encourage interconnection between people,
sure.
Not so much focused on laptops and servers and devices, but really looking at the whole suite and range of these tools and how they could best be architected together to enhance the experience of connection at the interpersonal level. And that was the intention, and we feel that we've had enough tests now so that, academically speaking at least, it was a success. And we're just winding up that research project now.
Great. Well, it's a brilliant idea. I really like that it's about intention and raising consciousness. And so personally, why do you think that's important to be about intention and raise consciousness?
Right. For me, Janet, consciousness is at the epicenter of identity, and it starts to get at core notions of life and the fundamental nature of reality, such as our freedom and our ability to have self-expression and to meaningfully present and to relate to others and to our environment. So it's the consciousness, in a sense, that's the thinker behind the thought, not just the thoughts that we have racing around, chattering in our mind, and the reactions that we have, though those are certainly part of us as well. There's something behind that that the ancients have been onto for a long time, but only now is beginning to find a more comfortable fit within the mainstream tools and processes and methods that we have for interacting here in the West. And I think that's partly because information technology, when you break it right down, is really a tool that operates at the level of energy and information, intelligently patterned with these protocols we have. And is that so different from the energy and information which many people feel and acknowledge interconnects us at the unspoken, unmanifest level? Maybe not.
Sure.
Maybe it's a really good medium to conduct and to enhance and to accentuate the interconnection and the sense of presence and interconnected consciousness that we can create irrespective of where our bodies happen to be.
It's wonderful. And I remember, I don't know how long ago, I guess it was a year ago, I participated in an online yogi class.
That's right, yeah, you did. You were in a groundbreaking class from Los Angeles with yogis all around the world that we had just about this time last year, about in December of last year, hosted in San Francisco, thanks to the good people at Yoga Tree San Francisco, the premier yoga studio in that town, who'd been very supportive. And we hosted yoga asana class, that's the postures you do with your body, also acro yoga, partner form of yoga, and some dance and some other fun things, with live class happening in San Francisco and people joining us over the internet with webcams projected up on the wall from studios and offices and homes all across the world, right across from Sydney, Australia to Bogota and your living room in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah, that was so fun to see people all over the world participate. It was amazing.
It was great.
Yeah. And so the yoga studios in Los Angeles and San Fran and probably Boston and others. So my interpretation is that they are extremely supportive of this project.
that was my interpretation as well. People, many people have stuck their neck out for this project, and you know, in most ways, I'm the least important, you know, part of it. I've been trying to act more as an enabler. But these yoga studios, Janet, have been dynamite. They recognize that this is a trend toward the future. It's a trend towards service. It's a trend. Information technology is not at odds with spirituality or a deep and healthy, connected and whole life. It can be a tool to unlock those blessings in life when it's used properly and with that intention. And there's many others that are beginning to wake up to the, you know, really potentially revolutionary functions that information technology can open to people, again, when it's architected for that purpose, when the tool is used toward those ends.
Right. So I'm gonna give out some phone numbers for the listeners to call in, and then I'm gonna back up and ask you some other questions, specifically your title and your role in this project and association with MIT. And for our listeners, your voice is very important to us, and your thoughts are very important to us. And you may call 877-876-5227, 877-876-5227. If you're in Canada, you may call 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. We have a genius here as a guest, and he has, I think, a lot of answers to your questions. Your voices are very important for us to hear, your questions and your thoughts about health and well-being. And so, Daza, how about sharing with us your title and your association with MIT and the technical structure and the work that you did to make this happen?
Sure, Jen. Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's back up a little bit and set some context. So the very first, I think, anchor piece of context is the website for this project is at www.onlineyogi.com. And that is the URL and the website that we set up to help test and demonstrate this idea, for this MIT project. And my title at MIT for the last 10 years has been lecturer. I've been a lecturer of information architecture and media arts and sciences in the School of Architecture and Planning and the Media Lab. The Media Lab at MIT is in the School of Architecture and Planning, interestingly. I've also, in addition to that academic appointment, had a research appointment as director of the, not an appointment, just a research title, I suppose, as the director of the MIT e-commerce architecture program, where we would do projects with government and industry partners looking at new kinds of prototypes and demos in the e-commerce and e-government space. Well, it's all of that research and teaching and thinking that ultimately led to, in a sense, the series of brainstorms that all the yogis around the Media Lab and I had about new ways that we can new ways to leverage this technology. So those are the titles in the background. I'll also say that the basic technology architecture that we've come up with was explicitly and deliberately designed to leverage open source. So the code we have for the virtual classroom is free and open source. Mm-hmm. It's to leverage open standards and to leverage open content models using licensing like the Creative Commons, which lets people designate the rights to reuse, avoids all the DRM mess, and encourages open community, cross-connecting across boundaries. Technically, all people would need is broadband, a browser, and a webcam to participate. And you can do a lot even without the webcam, but you can't bring it to that final plateau of interpersonalization where you can actually engage in live services with people, whether that's a yoga class, or Tai Chi, physical therapy, meditation, or even joint prayer, whatever direction people want to take it. But I've really been testing, again, those higher vibration, you might call it, or higher intention kinds of activities mm-hmm. in the health and wellness space. And so far, so good. So I hope I addressed the different parts of your question. If I left something out, please let me know.
Sure. No, and you started working on this project in 2005?
Yes. I really started noodling around with it probably around 2001. And I think we had our first PowerPoint presentation and website in 2005. And it's just been slowly deepening since then, taking over my whole life.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that it's open source, so this online community is free for anybody?
Yes, so long as it's been an MIT research project, it's been absolutely free. And it's been paid for out of my budget at the e-commerce architecture program as an authorized research project. And so having said that, we've demoed it in a couple of events now where people... It had to pay to get into the event that was our partner for purposes of demonstrating or prototyping this. So the one in San Francisco, for example, the people that showed up in person at the San Francisco Yoga Studio paid a small premium, which covered a DJ and a few other costs that we had, and then primarily existed to raise money for charity in the community that was connected to what we were doing. But having said that, it's a free research project at MIT. The code will continue to be free forever. I don't believe that the research project is going to be actively supported after we do a launch of the code in December, because I've been the lead on the research project, and I'm leaving MIT this semester. I'm already... largely gone. I'm just sort of in wrapping up a few things, tying up loose ends. So my departure from MIT corresponds, not coincidentally, with the final launch of our software and demonstrations and prototype.
And so what is the date of this launch in December, and where is it taking place?
It'll take place in the MIT Media Lab. And the final day, we're still working out with various partners of the e-commerce architecture program over the years, trying to accommodate as many people as we can.
Mm-hmm.
So I will certainly let you know, but anyone that's interested can find that out and more on onlineyogi.com.
Great. And the online yoga classes or the other... types of activity classes, how often are they going to be provided, and will the onlineyogi.com site have a schedule?
Sure. Now, I think the onlineyogi.com site will probably be largely in an archive mode after the academic research project is over, and my hope is that when we port it over to probably... I'm not sure which one yet, but we'll port it over to one of the open source websites and start a project page for it, and continue development there. The hope is that as people use the code and find it interesting and desire to evolve it or write modifications or other enhancements to it, that community will grow over time and be self-governing. Mm-hmm. Initially, I will personally just keep supporting the code. To one degree or another, and iterating it on that site, which again will be linked to from onlineyogi.com, and that will correspond actually with the launch of a private startup that I and others are going to be involved in, where we'll be looking to provide top-notch services and content over this open source software, based on relationships with yoga teachers and other healers who are interested in providing classes and things like that. And ideally, other people also will see value in using this kind of software and will provide their services and video content as well. So it's designed as kind of an open architecture, open market. And I'm in Los Angeles right now, actually, and doing a tour down the West Coast and then the East Coast again signing up studios and other interested sponsors and parties who might be who have evidently are interested in providing the services in this new, very user, citizen, consumer-centered manner, Web 2.0, semantically aware, and spiritually tuned in. So I feel like things are in good shape for winding up the academic phase of the project, and different in the future. I'm looking to jump back into these kinds of issues from the private sector direction after the top of the year.
Wow. That sounds fantastic, Daza. You're doing some good work, some really good work. So, based on that comment, what are the benefits and value for you in being a yoga instructor and creating community of health and well-being, your personally?
Mm, great question. I mean, I found in my own life, Janet, that when it comes to health and wellness, and really that involves, among other things, not just, changing some static sense of ourselves to, eliminate that which is unhealthful or unwell and replace with, health and well. It's really more for me a matter of trying to be more aware and conscious in the experience and engagement in change, which is one way to kind of express kind of what this phenomenon of life is. And so change, the idea of conscious change is critical, and that I've observed has been most important indicator of success in different transformations or experiences that I've had. It allows for the sticking to it, for example, just remembering
sure.
the intention, remembering commitment, and it allows for many other important ancient practices of awareness and coming back to the moment. And so for me, I feel that these information technology tools are a really good fit for those old mindful practices, ancient but ever current practices of mindfulness and awareness, which after all is an information intensive process, isn't it? Coming back
yes.
to awareness. And so these can be helpful tools. They can assist us. They can support us. They can remind us. But ultimately, that's why I found it useful, just out of a sense of necessity is mother of invention. I found I was using my own mobile phone and things to support my spiritual and physical practices. And so that's why I feel that they may be useful for others as well. And so far the early indicators are that people are responding well and outcomes are being enhanced.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that that the teacher teaches what they most need to learn. So it sounds like through your development of this project, you have had some beneficial transformation yourself. And and what would you say the number one piece of value is for those who have participated so far?
Interesting event. It was partnered between a production company called interpersonal.tv, which is what's coming next for me, and with MIT e-commerce architecture program, where we use that free open source software we're talking about now, the online yogi software.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most impactful test run of it was this partnership that we did about 3-4 weeks ago now, called the Global Mala Project.
The Global what?
Global Mala, M-A-L-A, sort of like mala beads, those little prayer beads that the yoga people use, not so different from rosary beads and so forth. And
sure.
It's just contemplative art, like meditation or breathing. And this Global Mala Project was an exercise, a beautiful and very successful exercise, in bringing communities of consciousness together across the world through yoga. There are sites across the world doing 108 sun salutations, a fundamental yoga sequence of postures. Over 400 sites, it turns out. Now it's still counting across the world, did 108 sun salutations. The day of the UN Peace Day and the equinox, 3 or 4 Saturdays ago. It was managed out of Los Angeles, where there were 4,000 yogis or so. There was 1,000 in San Francisco and another 1,000 in Boston and other places, in cities that I'd hooked up with this online yoga software and some other bells and whistles, so that they could begin to not only recognize and acknowledge silently and impliedly that people were all in this experiment of experience together, but also literally explicitly now with video and audio see the interconnections that bind us together. So it really did underscore and enrich and I think deepen people's experience. We had Ram Dass, a wonderful spiritual figure from the 60s, wrote the famous book Be Here Now, among other things, address us from Maui, from his the comfort of his living room, where he doesn't travel now due to his health, but he was able to travel right into the center of our consciousnesses, or maybe we traveled to his, or met in the middle in that land beyond eternity. But he created a vibration. He articulated the name of Ram. He invited us to breathe. He invited us to the present. He invoked a sense of possibility that we are all one. And people really reported a deep experience. I'm still getting reports from people in Boston who were at that event who say that they felt the vibration of it. They felt the afterglow of it, up a day later. And luckily, I've got the whole thing on video. People can see that at interpersonal.tv/video. Well, it'll be obvious when you get there. There's a file there that says Ram Dass, if you'd like to see what that actually looks like. Sorry that was long and rambling, but I was so excited by it. I feel words don't really suffice to describe how impactful it was. Thanks for asking that last one, Janet.
Oh, well, you're welcome. I really like to hear the benefits of the people who have been involved so far. And I certainly do not see this technology project as a convenience. I see it as a powerful tool for bringing, many, many people together to raise consciousness in the world. And I think, as many people know, certainly in prayer, there's an energy and a vibration, and that rises and becomes stronger the more people involved. So one person's prayer has power, but when you put hundreds and thousands of people together, especially all over the world, the possibilities are limitless. So if any of our listeners would like to call in and share your thoughts, ask questions, our number is 877-876-5227, 877-876-5227, and from Canada, 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. Call in, share your thoughts, ask questions. Maybe you have a similar experience. Maybe you want to know how to get involved with onlineyogi.com and participate in strengthening the fabric of goodwill. So, Daza, what else would you like people to know about onlineyogi.com or the intention of the project or what's coming up in terms of your startup?
Sure, thank you. Well, let me try to stay as focused as I can on the academic portion. I'd say one thing that that I found very interesting in doing these experiments with the Online Yogi software was the reports from people that the video, while it was useful, was not nearly as important as the sound. And so I've been spending a lot of time working on the audio and the sound lately. Now, still images are extremely useful for physical postures or physical therapy. People can glance up and get a quick sense of what they're supposed to be doing. But for the most part, it seemed that the experiences were deeper and more effective when the sound could handle about 80% of the cognitive input of the user, and only 20% was dependent upon the input of what they were seeing with their eyes from the, through the computer, for balance and so forth. Obviously, people needed to be, picking a point in the wall, and visual inputs are more important than that represents. But that was one important piece of feedback that took me by surprise, frankly. And so I've really gotten deep the last couple of years into sound engineering and audio signals processing and making things sound yummy and reverb-y like NPR, to help deepen that sense of immersion. The other thing that I note that I thought was very, very interesting was, for the most part, how quickly people were willing to, not just willing, but reported that they did, slip into that, what I call immersion point, using these technologies. It's that point where you must be familiar when you're in a movie theater and you forget you're in the theater and your consciousness, mm-hmm. in a sense, is transported into that reality that was made for you through the movie. Or that point when maybe you're on a phone call with a loved one or an important call and you're transported. Your presence now virtually, but in a very real sense, is now in that conversation, in that shared space of consciousness
that you've immersed
yourself in that zone. That's the one I'm talking about, exactly. And so this zone of connected consciousness is what I call the immersion point, when people go through that boundary. It's not necessarily a single crisp point. It's more of a process sometimes, but there's one side and the other of it. And I've been really delighted to see that people are able to do that relatively quickly in these processes. Also, as fairly well-established research in the area of virtual communities and online interactions suggested, I also got confirmation that people are able to immerse even more deeply and even more quickly if they first had a physical relationship with other people in the online community. And then the online images came up. They sort of triggered those old patterns and the sense of connection and empathy was able to be re-triggered and kind of get a head up in a sense. So those are some of the interesting things.
Very, very interesting. And having people get into the immersion point, or as some of us call it, in the zone, is really the point of enlightenment. If all of us were successful and skilled to be in the moment, in the zone, every single day, isn't that what they say is enlightenment? The yogis.
I wonder. I guess your mileage will vary from a yogi to yogi in terms of how they describe that state and what it's supposed to mean. And one thing that anyone that I think credibly has claimed and been regarded as having achieved that, one thing that seems pretty stable is that it's inexpressible, whatever it is, through words, and it seems to be in some ways radically unique to the experiencer, and maybe in other ways completely identical, sourcing mm-hmm. back to the one. But I wouldn't stick my neck out so far to say, use this service and you'll be enlightened. I think it's more of a working toward goal. Maybe we'll push back the darkness a little bit at a time, one photon and one light bulb mm-hmm. consciousness at a time.
Sure. I know when I'm working with my clients and supporting them and being in the moment, they do have a better experience in terms of peace of mind and sense of well-being, and their productivity and their confidence is up, and their relationships are healthier, and their communication is more effective. When we're at that immersion point, when we're in the zone, there's nothing else. So there are no distractions, and we're not stirring around all these stories in our head, and stories about this one or that one, and we are enjoying the moment. And so there becomes a greater sense of joy when a person is in this immersion point on a regular basis. It may take a few lifetimes, I don't know. I just know that when people practice being in the immersion point and in the zone, their overall sense of joy becomes greater. And I think joy leads to, to goodwill and consciousness. I think they all go together, and immersion point, being in the zone in the immersion point, is being conscious. And when we're conscious, we know ourselves better, and things are revealed things that we didn't know about ourselves, they are revealed, and we say, oh, so that's what was in my way of XYZ. And so have you had that experience, Daza, where you are more skillful at being in the zone in your life and feeling a greater sense of joy than you were a couple years ago?
I would say so, yeah. I would say so. And I'd have to really thank, you know, the ancients that reduced to writing the results of generations of experiments with the technology of yoga and meditation and some of these other ancient contemplative arts, which I've been applying. And I'd say, you know, the most important tool in my experience has not been from any, you know, kind of cybertronic overlay, but it's just been from the simple act of coming back to my breath consciously. Mm-hmm. And to me, I found that that's the technology that's allowed me to, from time to time at least, you know, lift my head up from the slumber and the cycle of endless reactions and stories and so forth, and to come back and remember a more authentic self, which creates an opportunity to act deliberately as opposed to react. And thereby to come to awareness in the moment and those, you know, the kinds of states of awareness that are words like the zone or flow are used to describe more frequently. And one interesting thing I'd note that when you were talking, Janet, which I found beautiful, I feel like I need to do a lot more listening when you and I are in conversation, a lot less talking, even if I'm your guest. But when you were talking, something that that really struck me was experiences I've had using two-way or multi-casting technologies for these more spiritual or deeper relationship purposes. When you're with people who you really love and when you're talking about things that really matter, sometimes they certainly do source in the realm of joy, and sometimes they, you know, we know it's just, you know, full people with a spectrum of emotions, all of which are valid. Sometimes they source from grief or from from other kinds of emotions which are a different part of the spectrum of feelings from joy. And that these kinds of technologies can be very, very useful in helping people process those as well together, in connection that's very important, and grounding and healthful, but not always joyous in the moment. Now, having said that, you know, I can't disagree with a single one of the insights that you said, because the way you phrased it is overall it results in more joy, and in fact it does. There's more lightness when you can process this these kinds of you know, patterns through in a supported, healthy manner.
So
I have to say that what everything you said, yes, yes, and yes.
Well, thank you. And yes, yes, yes to you too. I think maybe for some people who are not at a point in their life when they're ready to actually go to a yoga class or go to some other type of you know, dance class, a meditation, if they're not at that place in their life where they're ready to do that or willing to do that, that they can use this online yogi project and the resource to get the benefits of being in the immersion point and creating more joy in their life. And I don't see it as a cop-out. I just see it as another tool for someone to transform themselves and ignite their potential. And I want to go back a little bit because you talked about how this supports you in not reacting.
Sure.
One of the conversations I have often with my clients, but it's really on the table these days, is do I want to be effective in life or do I want to be affected? And when we're affected, that's when we react. And usually we are reacting to somebody else. And then that person is triggered and then they're reacting. And that's not really the way to go in terms of strengthening the fabric of goodwill. And this structure here allows people to get into the zone, into the immersion point, and get that more peace of mind and the balance in the mind, and then they that's when they become more effective. And when we are effective, in the effectiveness, we are more conscious and more aware, and there is less reaction towards people or towards a situation, and there's a sense of calm in the mind and the body rather than anxiety and fear. And we overall, we as human beings can live from a place of love or we can live from a place of fear. And the love is where we're more effective and more joyous, and the fear is when we are more reactive. And I think, I mean, I do yoga myself, and I love, one, I love to just be in the moment for an hour and forget about everything. And as you alluded to, it's like going to a movie and just going away from your life for 2 hours and being right in the moment in whatever is going on. And for me, yoga has been a wonderful tool for my joints and in my physical body overall, and definitely just an overall calming effect in my body. And what other activities are
Hello?
Going to be, what other activities are going to be
Hello?
Optional for online yogi?
Sure.
Hello.
Well, yes, hi. We've got this line now on a radio show. If you'd please excuse us, unless you'd like to join the conversation.
Are you a caller?
Yes.
Oh,
terrific.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. What's your name?
It's Hildy.
What is it?
Hildy.
Shelby.
I'm phoning from Washington.
From Washington. Hi, Shelby.
Yeah, I just want to let you know I really enjoy your show. Your show with the gentleman you have on. I just was wondering what this MIT stands for.
Oh, okay, MIT. Well, I'm from Massachusetts, so I will proudly say that it's Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Is that correct, Gaza?
That is correct. Yes. It's a university in Massachusetts focusing on technology.
Oh. Well, I've been listening to it, but and I hear that MIT, but not knowing what it stands for. I am enjoying listening to you, and I know you are very correct. One doesn't always need that in order to be in the moment, but it probably would help.
Mm-hmm. How are you doing at being in the moment, Shelby?
Well, trying to be whoever I think of, or whoever I think of.
Mm-hmm.
And it can make you feel 100% better.
Shelby, I'm sorry,
if you transfer your mind into some happy occasion.
Hi, Shelby. This is Zaza Greenwood from that institution, MIT. And I just wanted to ask, I couldn't quite make out what you said. I'm sorry. You say you think of somebody or a place? Is that what you said?
That's right.
And then what happens?
And then usually I am within that moment at that place.
Isn't
okay.
that interesting? That's beautiful.
Wow.
Thank you for sharing that. That's an interesting question that you posed to Shelby as well, Janet, because it really goes to the very fundamental question of who we are and where we are at any given time. At one level, of course, we're always at wherever our body is. You know, you could say that's where we are. I'm on the corner of 12th and Elm Street. But in another more profound level, in a sense, we are wherever the coordinates of our consciousness may be. And sometimes our consciousness is with loved ones, or it's in a memory, or it's in an invention, a moment of inspiration, which we can then call into reality by inventing technology or creating a new building or design or, you know, for that matter, you know, any number of ways. So it's interesting to me the way you put it, Shelby, because it turns out in e-commerce, there's some legal standing to the notion that you are where your consciousness is projected to. So, for example, if you project your consciousness into a psychotherapy session in Massachusetts, and you're in Washington State, you might be considered legally to be virtually present in Massachusetts. And so that person would need to be, so you'd basically be accepting the service there and subject to the laws and expectations there. Because the law and also religions and society and cultures for a long time have really valued that we are where our consciousness is. You know, the Catholic Church a long time ago used to really spend a lot of time on theological, almost academic questions, but one that always tickled me along these lines, Shelby, is they wondered when were you considered to be in church? Did you have to be in the pew, or could you be standing at the threshold of the door? Well, could you be just two steps outside the door with the door open, looking and listening and singing and putting the money in and maybe tossing it in or something? Well, what if you were 20 steps away with the door? What if you were a mile away with a telescope? Then were you still there? And they really stress these points, and at the end of the day, I think theologically, the really honest answer is you are where you choose to project your consciousness, and I think you've really demonstrated that in the story that you shared today.
I agree.
Keep up the good works. I really enjoy your show.
Shelby, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Would you like to share a personal example of when you were choosing a person or a place?
Well, there is so many, I wouldn't know which one to pick. But I always look for good memories.
Amen.
And then I try to transform myself into that moment.
Oh, wow.
Inspirational.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Shelby, from Washington.
Thanks, Shelby.
Bye-bye.
May we be creating good memories now for us to live backwards into later. So thanks for calling, Shelby. So, Janet, so you just asked an interesting question leading up to Shelby's participation. And you started by making the, do you mind if I address a couple of the things that you brought up? Because they were so juicy.
Go right ahead.
Okay, well, let me double check. Is there anyone else on the line? Okay, so the one of them you mentioned by way of just an observation, you didn't really view this in a sense as a cop-out, but really as something that could be valuable. And to that point, I want to say the testing that I've done, and just based on my experience, to me it seems like if people have a chance to be doing a given activity along these health and wellness lines in person, as far as I can tell, I would assume it's almost always or very frequently going to be better to do that than to go and try to participate online. So if you can go to a yoga class or a Tai Chi class or something like this or a meditation group in person, if that works for you, if it's geographically where you need to be, if it's socially something you're up for and so forth, monetarily accessible and all the rest of it, a style that speaks to you, then by all means go. But what I've found is that having these online live interactions and non-live interactions can still be much better than people using a non-interactive source, like, say, a DVD or a cassette tape, as a way to try to participate in these events. Well, that can be somewhat effective. There's something about the interconnection, about the live two-way or multi-way relationship that makes it better than nothing, but maybe not as good as being there in person. So in terms of the pop-out, I think something that's just useful to keep in mind is that, you know, this is one tool among many. Hopefully people have many options for their health and wellness. It's one of their priorities, and that we'll be able to perfect this tool to the point where it will be useful for as many people as makes sense in those circumstances where it makes sense in their life. The other thing on the joy aspect was I've been getting a lot of messages lately from mental health professionals, psychotherapists, like in the example I mentioned to Shelby and others who are interested in using this kind of technology in their field where they're dealing frequently with sadness and with some other non-joy-oriented emotions. Mm-hmm. And I just find that interesting. It's not something that I'd looked at closely. I'd really designed this thing to be, you know, well-tooled for dance and things that are fun and higher energy and higher vibration, but turns out that the same tools work across the spectrum. Now, you mentioned being effective versus affected, and that is just such an important distinction. It's the key distinction, I think, of the contemplative arts and the meditative arts, and, you know, mm-hmm. being deliberate and not being your reactions. But just to turn those around a little bit, there's an interesting lab at the at MIT called the Effective Computing Group. It was next door to the lab where I used to work, and they looked at the role of emotions and how people interact with each other through computers, and realized, of course, computers are quite dumb now. They're not good at figuring out what the emotional content is, and then contextually suiting that context. But Roz Picard and others at MIT have done a really good job at through facial recognition and voice stress and many other tools. Doing a better job of having these computers be what they call effectively aware. It's effective computing. And one of the things that caused me to think about is the importance of just certainly being effective as opposed to affected, but also the importance of being deliberately affective. In other words, being aware of and taking ownership and responsibility for the effective content that we're transmitting at all times, the emotional and the social cues and the yes energy, the no energy, and everything else that we're putting out there effectively. Because in a sense, that's what's creating our reality. That's what's manifesting it. That's the telemetry that we're putting out that creates how people react to us and creates the reality around us. So effective versus affected for sure, and maybe also deliberately affective we can start to add to that as well.
Sure. O-F-F-E-E-C-T-I-V-E?
Affective?
Affective, yes.
So the distinction you made was effective versus affected?
Yeah.
And maybe also these tools can help us to be more deliberately affective, being a little bit more on top of and owning and then deliberately choosing the affective energy that we put out there, the telemetry that we transmit that others respond and react to.
Well, that is very interesting. Very, very interesting. Owning the effective energy.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm just kind of joking here, but I'm thinking about when people have computer problems and they cuss and they get mad at their computers and the problem gets worse. What do you think about that?
I that happens all the time with people I work with, and I kind of like dealing with computers. I obviously, of course, get frustrated with them or experience frustration related to them from time to time. It's hard to be frustrated with an inanimate object, but Lord knows I do it anyway. And I find that, in general, as with so many things in life, the results are, feel and appear to be directly related to the intention with which the interaction is conducted. And so times when I'm feeling frustrated at the computer, I feel like it takes me forever to do things, and it's slow, and it doesn't work. And times when I come with a sense of ease and possibility, and, well, let's try this, let's try that, or how might it go here, it ends up going much, much better. Maybe I'm more in the mindset and in the spirit of how the people that design the program, and maybe there's deeper energies at work as well that work not only with computers but other processes and situations in life.
Sure. Well, what we focus on, we get.
Amen.
Well, we have a couple of minutes, Daza, left in the show. Is there something that you would like to share to close out the show with?
There really is, yeah. Along the lines of what you and I had sort of discussed possibly doing before the show, I wanted to let you and your viewers know that if they had more comments, sort of like Shelby's excellent participation along the lines of the topic of the show, that I'd be willing to support a online discussion following off from your show for a time, and we can see, if anybody joins in. The way I've been doing it is allowing people to upload little videos, little YouTube videos of their question, kind of like the CNN YouTube debates, and then at interpersonal.tv/projects. Is where I would have a link for your show, Janet, and an invitation for people to upload their views. And it's depending on what we get, if there's enough interest and enough discussion and buzz, then maybe it'll give you something to address in a future show with your audience, you know, through these kinds of new types of interconnection technologies.
Well, that's a great idea. So for those who are listening, let me know. You can email me or give me a call, and you go to www.sightforsound.com and find my information. And thank you for listening. Thank you to BBS Radio for having this resource. And Daza, thank you so much for your brilliance and being on purpose to create a greater world. And thank you for taking the time to be here today. And I'm signing off. Daza's signing off, and create an amazing day.
Thank you, Thanks. Janet. Thanks, everybody.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye.
Namaste.
Bye.